Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Welcome to Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Karen Peter, and today we've assembled a panel of folks who all come from an LDS background and are at varying points in their spiritual journeys. And our topic today for our conversation is the house church or small group experience. The house churches we're talking about today are groups that come together to share in a community of Christ experience of worship, discussion, and fellowship, and often, I should add, food. And they're all in the Utah and Southeast Idaho area, where we have three house churches that meet on a regular schedule. And we are delighted to have folks from each of these groups with us today. So Diana Wake is with us, and she's a BYU grad who has taught special ed, and she has two young boys, and she attends house church in Idaho Falls. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Karen.
Kimberly Peterson is also part of the Idaho Falls House Church. She's an artist and a mom, and right now is in her car waiting for her kids to finish haircuts, I believe. So, hi, Kimberly.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Jason Ayer is a technology coordinator in Murray, Utah, who I saw on Facebook, just won an award. And Jason facilitates the Utah County House Church. And in an effort to provide transparency and full disclosure, he's also an editor and part of the Project Zion podcast family. So hi, Jason.
Hi, Karen. It's great to be here tonight.
Good to have you. Brian Whitney is a native of the great state of Washington. He now lives in Brigham City, Utah, with his wife and family. Brian's an historian. He works at Greg Crawford Books and also substitute teaches while he pursues a graduate degree in publishing. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Good to see everybody.
It's nice to have our panel together this evening. So we're going to structure our conversation in this way. I'm going to ask each of you to share a little bit about your journey in relationship to a specific topic. And after you've shared, we'll ask anyone else who wants to respond to that particular question or topic to share as well and compare or reflect on your own experience or your own understanding and how it has been similar or maybe on a divergent path. So we're going to go ahead and begin. Jason, we'll start with you. Can you describe for us kind of the house church experience? House church isn't always in a house, is it?
Nope. In our case, it's actually in a house of worship. We use St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Provo, Utah. And our house church is very interesting. We usually have about 8 to 10 people generally come. We meet on the second and fourth Sundays of each month in the evening, early evening, I should say. And our topics are very interesting. We usually try to follow the lectionary, and also we're covering the enduring principles this year. But it seems as each new person comes and brings their story and wants to come and just be with us, oftentimes it's just as powerful to hear their story and to focus and answer questions and be present. So house church is definitely a lot more casual than a regular service, and it's a lot more intimate being in that small setting together.
And sounds like it's more focused on relationship building.
Absolutely.
Any others want to share? Is your house church experience the same or is it different?
So ours is very similar to Jason's in Logan, Utah. We also meet at a church. We meet at an Episcopalian church as well, St. John's Episcopalian Church. We meet on the first and third Sundays, also in the early evening at about 4:30 p.m. And we also follow the lectionary. We haven't begun looking at the principles yet, but like what Jason was saying, it's a nice, small, intimate group setting that sometimes just turns into a much-needed support chat. Typically, we do try to have some sort of a message, and on the first Sundays, we also have communion provided as well.
Okay. Diana, Kimberly, is yours the same or different?
Ours is different. Up in Idaho Falls, we do meet in a house. We meet in someone's living room, and ours is held on a Thursday. So we have house church Thursday evening. But we also in the morning have coffee and get together. So sometimes not everyone can make it in the evening, or not everyone can make it in coffee, but hopefully everyone can make it to one or the other.
So you have a two-part house church in Idaho Falls.
We do.
Kimberly, anything to add to that?
It's kind of nice to have it on a Thursday. It sort of gives you a chance to, I don't know, do something a little different, I guess.
For your evening, your Thursday evening?
Yeah.
So house church, everybody kind of described it as a small, more intimate group of people. And that's a wonderful kind of informal experience to get together. But I'm wondering, Diana, how did you hear about house church? How did you know that people were meeting in Idaho Falls?
So I was interested in looking into other churches. And I took my family to our nearest Community of Christ congregation one Sunday, which is down in Pocatello. And one of the members there told me there was a group that meets in her home in Idaho Falls and invited me to attend. And I went, and it's been great.
So when she first told you about it and said house church meets in her home, what did you think?
I was surprised. I'd never heard of house church before, and I didn't know what to expect. But I ended up being really glad that there was a group that was closer to where I live. And I felt fortunate that a lot of the people there were also somewhere in the process of transitioning away from the LDS church. So it was a good fit for me. There was a lot we had in common.
So anybody else want to share how you heard about the house church near you?
My story is probably a little unique. I was living in rural southern Utah and was living and went down to St. George to see the emerging seeker congregation there and met Carla Long, who's the pastor. She was passing through and she told me that she was going to be in charge of house church in Provo. I was halfway between the two at the time and decided to go to Provo because they met earlier and it was just a little bit easier to drive home earlier in the evening. And I also liked how they met every other week instead of every week. And then work brought me up to live in the northern part of the Utah now, and it's been wonderful. I've stuck to it.
Jason, how far did you drive from where you lived to go up to House Church in Provo before you moved?
So I was driving from Panguitch up to Provo. And to be honest, on Sunday the roads weren't too bad on the back roads, and the journey was pleasant, but it was about a three-hour drive, 2.5 to 3 hours.
So that's a little bit different. You did what?
I usually went to Costco, so then my wife wasn't so bugged by it.
You combined house church with going to Costco. Perfect. So
absolutely.
That's a three-hour drive is real different than 5 or 10 minutes to your local ward, and it takes a different kind of commitment to do that. What made you want to make that drive?
So when I first started investigating Community of Christ and looking into it, I should say seeking is probably the better word, but I had listened to Project Zion podcast for many months and with the help of the Infants on Thrones have done a pretty healthy deconstruction of my beliefs. And I just found myself trying to figure out, I knew that I wanted something more. I wanted to rebuild my spirituality. And some of the work that John Hamer and others did in the podcast world really connected with me. And so that's what led me to look into Community of Christ. And that's what led me to go to Provo. I found that it really recharged my batteries well. And it gave me a nice time to reflect and to journey as well.
Thank you, Jason. Kimberly, how'd you hear about House Church?
So I was living in a really rural part of Idaho and had been in conversations with someone who had, another seeker who had attended Community of Christ pretty frequently. And he and I had had some conversations about how he felt that the Community of Christ kind of held on to so much of what we loved about the Mormon church, but also got rid of a lot of things that we didn't love so much. And so I was interested in learning more about it when I lived there. And anyway, eventually got added to the Facebook group and kind of lurked there for a while, but never ever made it over to attend church in Pocatello, which was the nearest one to where I lived. It wasn't long after I moved here. We moved to the Idaho Falls area and, you know, just kind of had a hard time. I'd lost all my friends. I was starting over in a new town, didn't have a community. And at that point, somebody sent me a message saying, hey, you know that we have a house church that meets up there once a week or once a month, right? And I was like, no, I did not know that. I'd never heard of house church. And so it took me a couple of months before I braved going. I'm super introverted. And so it's more about just, I don't like to leave my house than any other reason, but I finally attended. And the first time I came, I was very moved. It was a small group, but I enjoyed the atmosphere. I enjoyed how intimate it was. Seeing women pass communion was really an important moment for me. I knew that this happened in other churches. I knew that there were women who held the priesthood, but I had never actually seen it happen. And so that was kind of an important moment in my spiritual development. So that's kind of how I've landed here.
Okay. Now, Brian, your journey was a little bit different. Your kind of companionship walk with Community of Christ was a long time. And when you joined Community of Christ, you already had the intent to attend house church. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah. So my relationship with Community of Christ began back in 2014. So about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, when I started as a research fellow in Nauvoo and worked along with Lachlan Mackay and Kristen and others out there on the historic site for the Joseph Smith historic sites. And I'd been familiar with Community of Christ somewhat at that point, but this was my first real close experience. Following that, I maintained a relationship with those that I spent time with out there. And I became an active participant of the John Whitmer Historical Association, which is sort of a historical association that's independently connected with Community of Christ. As time went by, I just became increasingly dissatisfied with where I was in my own personal religious journey and relationship with the LDS Church. And I had heard of the concept of house church before. Many years ago, over a decade ago, an evangelical friend was telling me that he was doing house church with his family. And, you know, at the time I sort of passed it off as, well, then, you know, obviously you're not very satisfied with the church that you were either attending or any local churches. So, you know, I didn't realize that this was a movement, that the house church movement is intentional. It's not a byproduct of dissatisfaction. Always. It's for many, it is a very intentional thing to do to create that kind of experience. Like, we keep using the word intimate experience. So I had learned through the Latter-day Seekers, I want to say it was, and I'm actually looking at it right now, I want to say it was the website, or it might have just been the Seeker group. I had learned that there was a house church that met in Logan. At the time that I was confirmed as a member of Community of Christ, it was not meeting. It was going to pick back up in the fall, which is about a month after my confirmation. So I reached out. At the time, Blair White was the pastor who was overseeing both. He informed me that he was moving back to Independence and that Carla Long would be overseeing the Logan House Church. So I reached out to her and said I just wanted to, you know, become an active participant of it and support it as much as I could.
And you have. So thank you with that. Although you did, before we started, confess that you did not have house church in Logan on Sunday.
That is correct. We decided to observe the high holy day of Super Bowl. So we canceled house church.
House church to watch the Super Bowl.
And, you know, and I think it's, you know, in part because the Kansas City Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, and both Carla and Joel White, who is also part of the house church, that's their hometown. So understandably, this was a pretty big weekend for them and me as well. I was happy to spend some time watching Kansas City.
And yes, most of the church headquarters in Independence, Missouri, were pretty excited about the Kansas City Chiefs. That is indeed the case. So before you actually went, what were your expectations, Brian? What did you think this Logan House Church was going to be when it met for the first time that fall?
You know, I really wasn't sure. I knew that it was going to be mostly either former Latter-day Saints or current Latter-day Saints that are sort of stretching out for something in addition, maybe to supplement their church experience. And I wasn't wrong about that. That is the case. The majority of those who are not in the pastorate who are attending are not members of Community of Christ officially. Most of them are still Latter-day Saints to some extent or another, whether they are continuing to attend or not. And, you know, and that has mostly to do with the demographics of where we're at. I mean, this is Logan, Utah. It's what you would expect. It might not be the same thing if we were in New Hampshire. So it's, you know, it's very Latter-day Saint heavy and focused. The conversations that we have tend to drift towards sort of more of a support group for former Mormons, and I kind of expected that going in. I think I had expected a little more regular attendance than what we get. It tends to be up and down, vacillates between as low as 4 people and as many as 12 on any given weekend, depending on you know what team is in the playoffs. You know, but that's something that I've had to sort of adjust to, because you know, you go for a few weeks and there's a few people who show up and you wonder, is this worthwhile to continue? You know, and I drive about a half hour there, but Carla and Joelle, they're driving over an hour to get there. And so I always feel for them. If the attendance isn't very well, you know, it isn't very high, I always feel like, man, they took a long trip up here for this. But they always seem to be very pleased to do it. So, yeah, expectations, I think I expected, again, a little bit more regularity, but hopeful that that will become an eventuality.
Okay. So Kimberly, I want to jump back to you for a minute. You said earlier that being an introvert, it took you a while to decide to go. So what I want to know is, the house church you attend meets in someone's living room. How hard was it for you to make the decision to go and knock on someone's door where you'd never been before and you had no idea who was behind the door?
It was a little hard, I'll be honest. And I really went with no expectations. And I got there, I can't remember. It seems like I was a minute late. So I didn't know if there'd be 3 people there, 10 people there, 50 people there. I really had no idea what to expect. And so I think the scariest thing for me was walking up and not knowing for sure if I was even at the right place. So yeah, it was a little intimidating to walk in there the first time, but I've never felt anything other than very welcome in Mary's house. She's just the best. She's a really sweet lady and goes out of her way to make us all feel very at home in her living room. And
we'll give a big shout out to Mary. So when she listens to this podcast,
shout out to Mary.
Yeah, we appreciate her.
She does a lot of work.
She does. She does. Diana, you attend the same house church. In fact, you're one of our probably longest term members of that house church experience in Idaho Falls. And so you spent a long time coming every month when it meets, when it might just be 2 or 3 people. What was that like?
It surprised me at first. I didn't know what to expect either. And I think the first time I went, I just assumed that it was a group that had existed for a long time. And, you know, there was a set group of people, and it was pretty early on. I found out it had, you know, maybe been going for a few months. So I think at first I kind of expected that I could sit back and just watch. That had a lot of the time been my experience with church, especially as an adult, was kind of just kind of sit back, watch and listen to what other people are saying. Just isn't the case when you're in a small group. And so we all got to know each other pretty well, pretty quickly, and learned a lot about each other and each other's stories, and found a lot of commonalities and things that we were going through or had been through. So there was like a very close connection, I feel like, that developed a lot more quickly. Like Kimberly, I had been looking particularly for a community. I wasn't really sure what role I wanted religion to play, but I was feeling kind of spiritually homeless and felt like I needed people to be around. And so being in an environment where I could make friends and do some deconstruction and learn about other people's beliefs was really helpful.
So you had mentioned that at Idaho Falls, it's a two-parter. You have coffee before. So Kimberly or Diana, what's the importance of that coffee time that you have in the morning, your two-part house church?
I think we've gotten so close that we have so much to talk about that it just takes all day.
Because it's not 2 or 3 people anymore.
Yeah, I mean, when we start in the evening, we start at 7 and often we'll go till 10 o'clock just chatting. And so at least getting, you know, a couple hours of that out of the way in the morning, we can catch up and talk and hear what everybody's doing and what's going on and have a really informal conversation. And then in the evening, there's space for a little more formal gathering, but it still ends up being mostly conversation and mm-hmm. a connection with each other.
Kimberly?
I think the thing too on having just that informal moment in the morning before we meet for a more formal house church is it kind of creates a nice transition point for people who maybe want to come and meet the group, find out a little bit about what they're about without feeling like they're going to be, I don't know, bombarded by religion or whatever. And not that the community of Christ, I don't feel like anyone has ever done that, but when you've never attended a church before, you don't know much about them. You don't really know what you're jumping into. And I feel like, especially in this area, there's a lot of people who are interested, but they're pretty gun shy about, you know, what their involvement in a new group is going to be. And so it kind of creates this nice middle place where you can go, you can meet the people, you can get to know them on almost more of a friend level before deciding to attend, you know, a more formal church in the evening. What I found though is almost everybody who has ever come for coffee has shown up for house church in the evening. Maybe not the same week, maybe not the same month, but eventually it seems like they all kind of make their way there to that house church in the evening for the more formal church gathering where we have more of a chance to talk about more spiritual topics than you would in a Starbucks or a coffee shop.
Okay. That's helpful to understand that a little bit more. So I want to kind of shift a little bit in our conversation, and you've all kind of mentioned your spiritual journey, that you were at different places in your spiritual journey. So I think we'll just go around if that's okay. And I'm going to ask each of you if you would just share how has attending house church impacted that spiritual journey and what's been most meaningful about it or anything else you'd like to share in that vein. So Jason, if it's okay, we'll start with you.
I am now a member of Community of Christ. I was confirmed into the house church in Provo. I'm the only real member who's been confirmed there. But I found that attending house church for me, I often will attend a more formal congregation in Salt Lake, but I found that attending the house church in Provo has been a chance to just unwind and to reflect. And it's really, I've enjoyed seeing other people who may have been struggling where I was before or maybe coming through it and kind of going through that with them. I also enjoy seeing how some people respond to singing some of Community of Christ hymns and other things for the first time. And house church has been a way to do that.
The hymnal does have quite an effect on people, whether it's in house church or in a congregation.
It does. And we try to use the hymnal and sing at least one song. And we try to keep them simple and not get too carried away. But the music is more upbeat in Community of Christ. And the hymns are more modern and not so slow. We use the pre-recorded hymns, which are played extremely fast. And I do have to confess, some days it's been hard to read the words as fast as the song's moving along, but I've really enjoyed the beauty and the spirit of the music.
Some of those are at a pretty good clip. I can relate to that. So, Kimberly, how about you? How has this impacted your spiritual journey?
I think for me, I really relate to what Diana said about feeling a little bit homeless. My family is still very much connected to the LDS faith. I'm less so. But my family is, they are also members. They all still attend. And I've kind of found that I have had a hard time finding that middle ground between people who are super, super connected and attending weekly and the people who have left and are just angry. And all they want to do on either side is just talk about the Mormon faith. The thing I feel house church really brings me is a space where I feel like there's so much focus on just the pure message of Christ at house church. And it's been really fantastic to have a space that is so focused on that message, that's so focused on the pure part of the gospel, but makes space for lots of different types of people. It's been really important for me to have a space where that's inclusive of LGBTQ people, people of other cultures, feminists, women who want a little bit more. Those are all things that were really lacking in the faith tradition I have come from. And that has felt like an empty place for me for a really long time, to not have that inclusiveness, that safe space, but especially that focus on Christ while including all of those things. And at the same time, I've not felt comfortable, you know, in some of the other support groups that exist out there, because that message of Christ, that focus on spirituality, just, it's missing. It's not there. And so House Church really provides that space where that's what the focus should be, is on, you know, how we do become closer to Christ, how we do become more like him. I've really appreciated some of the things President Beazia said about, he talked in a podcast about being a prophetic people, and all of the people in the community of Christ that I've met so far have just embodied that in such a pure but humble way. And so it's been really, really great to have some connection to that.
So Brian, I saw you nodding as Kimberly was sharing. Are there some points of connection in her story with your story?
Well, sure, yeah, and I wasn't expecting to be asked about it, so I didn't really put my thoughts together on it. But I mean, a lot of agreement, particularly, you see a lot of people when they do leave a tradition like the Latter-day Saint Church, which, you know, it's a kind of church that permeates your life in many areas, and it's almost like being a Jew in a sense that you have this sort of cultural identity that goes along with it, and family that, you know, can be impacted by your decision to distance yourself from the church. It's not like growing up in the Presbyterian church and deciding that you want to go to the Lutheran church down the street instead, you know, where there's oftentimes a little bit more acceptance. At least there's this, there may be an eyebrow raised, but there's this, well, they essentially believe the same things that we believe, so that's, you know, that's fine. Whereas for Latter-day Saints, that's not the case. This is it. And, when you leave this, then you're really choosing to leave Christ's church. That could become a real strain. Because of the very high density of Latter-day Saints here in the Utah, Idaho area, and it's such a culturally dominating force out here, you can feel a bit like a lost wandering sheep without a community, when you've decided that you, for whatever reason, for personal, ethical, moral, theological, historical reasons, decide that you can't continue participating with the Latter-day Saint Church. And, you know, to find that sense of community with other people can be difficult, particularly when they are so angry. And we see these groups on Facebook, we see different podcasts or whatever that, you know, that they can tend to fuel the anger, and people lose connection with spirituality. I see a lot of people that end up just becoming, you know, I'm not going to say atheists. I mean, you do see that too, but you see a lot of people who just say religion just doesn't work for me anymore, and I'm not going to participate in any religion. And a lot of people, I would say, would still consider themselves spiritual, but they're just not interested in religion. For me, I enjoy religious community, and part of it is just I'm a religious nerd. I enjoy the religious experience. I enjoy the liturgy of religion. I'm kind of a high church geek. I like things like having the smells and the bells and the call and response and those types of things. But at the same time, it's also easy to, and I do enjoy attending those types of things from time to time, particularly around the holidays or around different festivals. But it's also easy to just become a lost participant in those too, where you're just sort of sitting in the back, enjoying the experience almost as if you're going to a theater or, you know, a performance, and then leaving. And that's, you don't have a connection with anybody there. You don't have a sense of community with anybody built there. You're just at that point, just really enjoying the presentation of the religious experience, which is fine. I enjoy that. But I crave community. And I think one thing I like about House Church, particularly the way that we have it set up right now with where we are, you know, meeting the Episcopalian church, so you do have that feeling of walking into a church building, which has its ups and downs. I think that the intimacy of a living room is also very beneficial. But there is a liturgical structure to what we do at House Church. We do follow the common lectionary. We do have sort of a laid out plan of how the worship service is going to go, and it follows a pretty common liturgy structure. At the same time, we're a very small group where Diana was mentioning that, you know, when you're in that environment, you have to participate. It's not really, you're going to feel pretty awkward if you're sitting there saying nothing when there's only four of you to answer the questions that are being put out. So it can be a little discomforting for some people to know that they're going to be asked some questions about their spirituality, about their joys, about their trials, about their concerns, about their God moments in life. And, you know, you're probably going to want to say something about that. And for some people, that's not very comforting. Of course, they'll never force you to. If you do decide to pass, everybody's going to be super gentle. But at the same time, I think, you know, you'll end up probably wanting to say something. And that can be really, that can really be healing once you start opening up on those things. I'm not the kind of person who likes really cheesy spiritual practices. You know, I don't like things, for me, I call them cheesy, and that might offend some people, but I'm not a big fan of like deep thought meditation type practices. But sometimes we do those, and I'm not going to reject it. I'm going to just accept it and do it. And then I find a benefit in it that I probably wouldn't have considered if I was in a larger group where I could have opted out more easily. So it forces me to stretch a little bit, which is good.
It is good. I'm with you on the spiritual practices, Brian, but I find benefit in them as well when I force myself to participate. So you're not alone in that. So all our listeners now know our little secret. So Diane, I want to go back. And Brian mentioned that you had said in a bigger church, you can sit in the back and not have to participate. Obviously, that has not been your experience in coming to House Church. So how has it impacted you?
So I've been going for about a year and a half. And in that time, a lot has changed for me personally and religiously. And so initially, it was a place where I could deconstruct my beliefs and look at that and kind of tear things apart a little bit and try and figure out what it is. And now I feel like it's a place where I'm reconstructing beliefs. And I have a new place where I can look at things that were so different to me in the LDS church, whether it's scriptures or hymns or communion, all of these things that I experienced in the LDS church, but being able to look at them in a new light and hear what they mean to someone else and to someone else's religion. And part of what I love is that everyone I've met in Community of Christ basically tells me, well, yeah, this is what we believe, but I believe this a little differently, and I believe, you know, this, and you can believe whatever you want. And so I feel like I can listen to everyone else's experiences and their thoughts, and I can come to my own conclusions about how I feel right now and know that that's going to change and evolve and that that's totally okay. So I feel like there's this authenticity that has been part of it, finding spiritual authenticity and growth in a really personal way. And I think a lot of the time our discussions become really, really practical and applicable instead of just looking at scriptures just in the scriptural context, whether we're talking about politics or social justice or the environment. There are so many things that I couldn't necessarily relate to religion and spirituality before in the LDS church. And now I have space to figure out how all of that fits in with my spiritual beliefs.
So you called yourself spiritually homeless when you first decided to go to Pocatello and then were led to the house church experience. How would you name where you are now? You've gone from spiritual homeless to what?
I do consider house church a spiritual home. I feel like it's a safe place, and it's an open place, but it's also a place where I can grow and change, and it doesn't have to be stagnant or stay the same either.
I want to ask one more kind of question and open it up to everyone and just ask you, what would you say to someone who is listening to this and had been thinking about attending house church near them? I mean, certainly they can find themselves in your stories. What would you say to them out of your own experience?
I'll jump in on this. I would say the main thing that people should know is that it's super, super low pressure. That's been one of the things that I've kind of appreciated the most, is there's just such this feeling of whatever you are, wherever you're at, whatever you need, we're here for you in whatever capacity you need us to be. In fact, that was something that one of the leaders of our church specifically said, is if you need to be here for community, please come find community. If you need to be here to come closer to Christ, you can do that here. And so it's pretty, that's one thing I kind of appreciate about the house church experience, is it provides community and yet leaves space for spiritual sovereignty, because we're all going to be on different places on our spiritual journeys, whatever that means, whether we're seekers, whether we're confirmed, whatever it is. I mean, I think there's people who have been in the church for, you know, decades, generations since they were born, and they're on different places than people who were also in the church for decades, for generations since they were born. And that's just kind of how it is. But that openness to be wherever you're at and for it to be whatever you need it to be is something that I think should make it inviting to anybody, that it's very low pressure, and it's going to have what you bring to it, but it's also going to be what you need it to be.
Thanks, Kimberly. Anybody else want to jump in on that?
It's important for people to know that house church is there for them. And kind of like Kimberly said, or it may have been Diana, that it is a little bit hard to go the first time. It goes against what you've thought and what you've learned as far as not going to other churches and only true church and those kind of things. But once you get there, you'll find that the people, many of us have been there, we get it. And we still continue to have house church and still continue to worship together and in community in an effort to help people get through these types of challenges. And the other interesting thing that's important, and it's hard when you've come from a church that focuses its mission solely on proselytizing and growth and those types of things, the mission and community of Christ looks very different. It looks more community-focused, but it also looks more like, I'm trying to think of the word, it looks more like your individual service and your individual experience and journey with God. And it isn't just all about the big end. It's about living the life we're in now and getting the most out of that.
In community of Christ, that's kind of our understanding of what Zion is, right? Living the reign of Christ, living the kingdom of God on earth now. Thanks, Jason. Anybody else?
Sure, I'll take a whack at it. I can promise you that if you come to house church, you're going to make a friend. Mm. Everybody is very welcoming. When you're in a small group like this, it can be a little less overwhelming, a little less threatening. You have more time to be open with each other. I think that you have an opportunity to be more authentic with each other than you do when you are sometimes attending a traditional Sunday service at a larger church where you may not speak to anybody. You may get a few glad handshakes and thanks for coming and are you visiting this weekend? and that's about it. Then you wander away and say, well, that was a nice experience. But when you come to house church, you're going to get into conversations with people about your personal life, about your background, about the things that matter to you. You'll find a lot of commonality because most of us are coming at it from the same perspective of people who were not being spiritually fed. And so we came together to try to find, again, that sort of sense of community, to rebuild our faith, to rebuild our relationship with church, with the Savior, with each other, and in a safe place that we can trust each other. There's vulnerability that is possible, I think, in these settings that is sometimes very difficult, if not impossible, to find in a larger group setting, in a traditional church setting. So be willing to be authentic, be willing to be vulnerable, and I think that you'll find that you'll be treated very caringly and lovingly, and it's a really good place to land.
So I'm just wondering, I meet a lot of people who come from an LDS background, and usually by the time our conversation ends, they have told me something about Community of Christ or about meeting a Community of Christ person that has surprised them. So I'm going to ask you, what surprised you about coming to a Community of Christ house church?
Is that for me or is that open?
Anybody.
I think what surprised me was just how real everybody was. There wasn't any false pretenses, even from those who were in the clergy positions officially. It felt more like a group of friends coming together on equal footing than it did us going and, you know, attending and hearing a sermon from a pastor or having that separated experience between you and the clergy. It really just feels like we're all there together. We're all human beings that are on our own spiritual journeys and paths, and everybody respects that. And there's laughter, there's snarkiness, there's tears, there's all of those experiences of being around a close group of friends. It was mentioned earlier in the podcast, and I meant to bring it back up, is something that's been extremely meaningful to me, is just having female clergy and two female pastors who are blessing communion. That simple act is so meaningful for those of us that come from the LDS tradition.
Anybody else? What surprised you?
I was really surprised by the obsession with coffee. the coffee culture's thick with the Community of Christ. I'm here for it.
That is a true statement.
Do you think that some of that is part of the trying to differentiate between the church?
I don't know. I'm from the Seattle area, so for me, it's just part of what we are out here. But somebody, Lindsay Hanson Park, actually, and people in the podcast world will know Lindsay from Feminist Mormon Housewives and from Sunstone. But she asked me one time, what is the funeral potatoes, if you will, of Community of Christ? What's the dish that on a potluck or a gathering that is going to be there? And I've served the church all over the United States, and I was trying to think of something that was always there. And the only thing I could think of that will be there no matter what is coffee. It's just always going to be there. Yeah. So maybe it is an obsession, Kimberly. It could very well be. Anybody else? What surprised you?
Well, my first experience before house church was going to coffee for the first time. And you were there, Karen. Mm-hmm. And Joanne and Mary, and I was really shocked that three ordained women of this church, two of whom were 70s, were meeting with me at a Starbucks and were genuinely interested in just hearing my story and what I was thinking and why I was there. And along with that, there was zero pressure to join or to become part of anything. It was just very genuine curiosity and love and fellowship, which was a new thing.
Thanks, Diana, for sharing. We're coming to the end of our time together. So I'm just going to give the opportunity for any closing thoughts, something that you'd like to share that didn't come up in our conversation that you think would be helpful, or kind of last comments.
You know, one thing, Karen, that really did surprise me, I was thinking about it, is that the Community of Christ uses the NRSV translation of the New and Old Testaments in worship services. And it's been interesting to see the Bible from a theological perspective as opposed to a literal perspective, and really as opposed to an Old English type perspective. And it's been interesting to read and learn about the scriptures in a different way, in a language that's a little bit more modern, and interesting to see the different words that were chosen and to try and figure out why. And so that's been something that's been really different for me, but in many ways it's been new and meaningful. It's been kind of fun.
So for our listeners, the NRSV is the New Revised Standard Version, and that is the version that we use in all of our study and written materials. You can go on cofchrist.org, the Community of Christ website, and in the search bar put in scripture statement, and you can read the statement that Community of Christ lives with that guides us about how we understand and interpret scripture in faithful community. Anyone else? Last thoughts or comments?
So we didn't talk much about food, but I think food is present at most of our events, whether it's a light snack or whether we do a full meal. In our case, we typically do a heavier meal on the third Sunday. And then the first Sunday we might have some snacks, but it's mostly focused on communion. Food is something that is an intimate sharing experience and helps people to sort of relax a little bit and be willing to share with each other. And also for those who are hesitant to be able to speak up, it gives them something to do with their hands and something to do with their mouth while they're trying to think of something to say, or, you know, it can be a stress reliever. But I think food is a really important component of this kind of gathering that we do. And I guess I'd quickly like to hear from anybody else what their experience with that is.
Is there food at the other house churches?
On the fourth Sundays in Provo, we do pizza and conversation. So we definitely have food there.
So I've been at the Idaho Falls House Church many times, and we usually have a plethora of snacks there. In fact, I'm looking forward to coming in February because I understand it's the Valentine celebration and there will be chocolate. And we have gotten our marching orders to bring Valentine treats. So I know they'll be sharing, and we laugh about it, about sharing around the table. But in reality, if we're going to follow Jesus and live the ministry and message of Jesus, so much of that ministry happened around the table. And it happens when we share together in that way.
I think once again, we have to give a shout out to Mary for always making it fun, because she'll say the theme for this month is this. More often than not, she's the one making the majority of that food. But I know we always, like Diana said, we'll hang out until late into the evening, just having snacks at Mary's house. After we're done talking about spiritual things, we'll just talk about whatever and eat Mary's food. So
it is a very welcoming experience to do. Yeah, it's very hospitable. I'd like to thank all of you, our illustrious panel members, for sharing your experiences at house churches in Community of Christ. And I want to let our listeners know that you can find the Community of Christ small group resource that has been mentioned here. It's called Sacred Space, and it's on cofchrist.org on the Worship Helps page, right next to the Worship and Sermon Helps. So until we have our next visit together, this has been Project Zion Podcast. I'm Karen Peter, and I've been here with Brian Whitney, Diana Wake, Kimberly Peterson, and Jason Ayer. And I want to thank all of them for sharing their spiritual journeys with us tonight. Thanks so much to you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.